Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Patreon episode. The person who manages my home when I am gone and doing comedy, everything that this person has chosen to put into the house is so gross. Like, can you imagine buying this?
It's like a broom, like a giant broom.
Yeah, it's like a big blue vase with like dead twigs in it.
Thatch.
It's so horrific. Every choice this person has made is wrong.
It's like a basket weaving class.
Yeah, there's people without style, and then there's people that have like almost negative.
Right.
Like every single instinct they have is fucked. Like they should never do it. Like the lamp sucks. Everything sucks.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's gaudy. Without having any, like, but it looks cheap at the same time.
It's bad. Yeah. It's all bad. I mean, the blanket, like every single thing is wrong.
It feels like a halfway house.
No, it does. Yeah. Like, it's unbelievable. So I'm bringing somebody in that knows what they're doing, and you know, to design.
Yeah.
This person does a great job doing other things.
Yeah.
They just don't have an eye for good things.
Right. They don't understand.
They don't understand good things.
Yeah,
that's all. There are good things in the world, and there are bad things.
You can live your entire life and just not have it's fine.
And that's fine. You can't live it in my house.
Exactly.
You can't have that. You can't have your taste in my home.
Taste making used to matter.
Yeah,
it used to be it. Like people didn't all like you know. You used to like. People used to put up the Saturday evening post covers on their wall.
That's right.
Because that's what they told them to do.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
Like it's just people didn't used to think for themselves quite so much.
And I know. And how nice would that be here if she did that?
If
I walked into this house and this person had a Saturday evening post cover on the wall, I would have a stroke.
Yeah.
Because that's not what we got going on here.
Right.
You know? So people that don't have taste, and there's nothing wrong with that morally.
Right.
Obviously. But if you don't have taste, you gotta just, your instinct, you gotta fight it.
Yeah.
The things you think are nice are shit.
Right.
They're shit.
I know what I like, but I don't project it onto people. I don't say get fake wood paneling for this room.
Right.
Even though I would like it.
Right. Right.
I keep that inside.
Right. You like a shiplap?
A shiplap?
You know, shiplap is like that nautical wood paneling.
I do like that.
Yeah, of course. There's nothing wrong with it. Morally.
I'd love like a lifesaver, like an old preserve.
Yeah, morally. Yeah. My grandfather had all that stuff. My grandfather had like a statue of a ship captain.
I would love that.
You know what I mean?
I would absolutely love that.
He had a little statue of like a ship captain. We had a ship wheel on the downstairs. We had a bar.
Yeah. No,
we had
amazing.
A fully functioning bar.
This sounds amazing. I keep that pressed down inside me.
Absolutely. You have to. In the basement of my grandfather's house, we had a full bar. And he had a lot of nautical fun stuff. He had flags from ships and all stuff.
Yeah. And was he a ship guy? Like, I know he came over on a ship, right?
I don't think so.
He did come over on a ship, though,
He came over on a ship, but he was four.
Did he talk about that at all?
Not with me.
Yeah. It was a big boat. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of... He was a very American guy. He didn't reference the old country.
Right.
Like, this is the thing that Italians do all the time, by the way.
Yeah.
They talk about, like, the old country and all this. That never happened.
Weren't they all, like, the victims of, like, dons over there? Like, these, like,
who knows? I mean, these people.
Yeah.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, Italians are more rooted in Italy than the Irish are in Ireland.
Well, the Irish left mostly because of famine, right?
Well, that and there was no opportunity.
Right.
So they got out.
Yeah.
And we don't romanticize Ireland. Like, I mean, listen, my grandfather was from Ireland. We had some Gaelic fucking things on the wall.
Sure.
You know, every now and then there'd be some story that would be from his childhood. But he was happy in America.
Yeah.
He was not... He would never be like, in the old country, this is like, when you talk to Italian people, sometimes you're like, yeah, I would never fly in the old country. And you go, what are you talking about? You have no economy.
Right.
Italy has no economy. Yeah. You have an economy based on Gucci and fucking espresso.
And the Colosseum.
Yeah, what are you talking about? It's a tourist economy. You live, yeah. 30% of people under 40 years old live at home. 40%. It's crazy. It's a crazy statistic. What are you bragging about?
No,
yes,
now.
Is it a beautiful country? Sure, but like, shut up.
Well, apparently it's only gotten worse because all these places you think are great are just overrun with influencers.
Influencers.
Oh, interesting. All sorts of like
I thought you were going to say migrants.
No.
Like, I was ready to go. I'm so ready
to go. I mean, maybe.
Go.
I'm talking about like those places like on the coast. Those like those little towns that
I'm
look
like,
amazing.
As soon as you said overrun, just my Long Island, like I just sat right up in my chair. I'm like, and you know. But interesting. This is a good point. So it's
just
a
like,
lot
you know,
of people.
Lifestyle type people. Not even fun influencers who might do like a prank and get a woman killed or something. But like,
right,
you know,
right.
Like these... These, you know, they're just like these lifestyle bloggers and stuff, whatever. And like they go these, what are these towns, you know, like the one I might be thinking of, Porto Fico.
Portofino.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, Lake Como.
Yeah, yeah. No, they look beautiful.
The Mafia Coast.
Right. And they're all like looking like carved out of the ocean. And it's just people just freaking, you know, with tripods and like freaking
right.
lighting and stuff. And it's just
interesting.
Obnoxious.
But Italy's a tourist economy. They
yeah.
have to deal with that.
Right.
They have to deal with it. They want it every which way, by the
yeah.
way. They want it to be like people in the Hamptons, they go, we want high property values, but we don't want traffic.
Right.
You don't have both. You either have a lot of people coming here who want to live here, or you don't.
Right.
So if you want your house to be worth more money
yeah.
than it is, you have to deal with traffic.
Sure.
So it's like the people in Italy, they're like, well, we run an economy on tourism, but... We don't want these gross influencers here. I'm like, well, that's how your location gets popular.
Well, we also make cars. You make 10 of them a year, and they all cost $1 million.
Right. It's you have a sliver of the market.
Right.
You have a sliver of the market, you know? But my grandfather was never big into, like, hay in Ireland. He just was four.
Yeah.
He didn't care.
Right.
He had no...
When I was four, well, I remember from 4 years old, is a Ronald McDonald party I went to.
Right.
I won a little thing. We played Hot Potato, and I won a little Ronald McDonald blow up doll. That's the only thing I remember from being 4 years old.
I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
I don't think I remember anything. I don't know. What was it, a friend?
You're a friend. Yeah, some friend, some school
and
friend.
Ronald McDonald, it was somebody who was dressed as
yeah,
Ronald
McDonald. Yeah, some pedophile dressed as Ronald McDonald.
Every party then was yeah. a pedophile party.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no party.
Dude, they were going, this is the era when they're going after like heavy metal and
yes.
all this shit. And,
right.
like, and like those guys are just like, yo, oh, Metallica.
Right, right.
And they're fucking kids.
Right.
Dressed up as Grimace.
Yeah. They were like, yeah, we got to look into this Marilyn Manson. But they're running around dressed as Ronald McDonald just
yeah.
grabbing kids off the schoolyard.
I'm a hamburger. I'm a kid burglar.
Yeah. It really was just a sick country.
Oh,
through and through.
Incredibly sick. And I don't even want to do this mind exercise, but from their perspective, that must have been a great decade, I guess.
It was their time. No cell phones,
yeah.
no cameras, no
right.
surveillance, really no internet.
Jesus.
I mean, you're just running around.
You know, there's so many of them in power. You know that they really want to make at least one like Sandlot for pedophiles, like some nostalgia film. Like, why can't we do? We run everything. There's nothing for us.
Why can't we make a Sandlot for pedophiles? Yeah, no, I mean it's a weird thing to come over it for because you don't have any relationship to that country.
Yeah,
and we never faked it. This is what I liked about
right.
my family. No one faked it.
Yeah.
Like, I know people that are Italian in Long Island, and they fake it. Like, they have some connection to it.
Right.
You don't.
No one called it Aaron in your house?
Yeah, you don't. Right. Aaron Gobra. Like, you know, we were alcoholics.
Right.
That's how we honored the tradition of Ireland.
Yeah.
We were alcoholics, and our family hates each other.
Yeah.
Now. That's all. That's all you have to do to be Irish, truly Irish. The beginning of the family is good. The end of it is terrible.
Well, it seems to be, I mean, at least in the media I've seen from Ireland, the movies and
yeah.
stuff. It always seems to be like two guys on idyllic farms next to each other who hate each other's guts.
Yes.
Like feuds.
Yes.
It's the whole...
It's the Banshees of Inisherin. Yes.
Right,
but
yeah.
yeah, no. Because the entire thing is set up to resist the modern.
Yeah.
And the oldest thing in the world is a feud.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain groups of people, I won't say who are good at coordinating
right.
within themselves.
Sure.
And that's good. And there's lots of different people that are coordinating.
Right.
So it's not any group.
No. Yeah.
It's not any one group doing it. There's lots of them doing it.
Sure.
Okay. And the Irish are not them.
Right.
The Irish are not doing that.
No, yeah.
The Irish are not figuring out a way to get ahead.
Sometimes you're surprised when you find out who's coordinating, but it's never the Irish.
The Irish are never overrepresented in anything
right.
except alcoholism and, you know, domestic violence. They just don't. It's a culture of telling stories. It's a culture of blarney and bullshit. It's a beautiful sadness. Great funerals. They know how to send someone off, you know. There's positives to it. They are not a culture of entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
They're not a culture of risk-taking people. That's just not what they do.
They don't bungee jump?
They don't say, hey, wouldn't it be good if we all started a business?
Right.
They don't do that. I'm even talking about that.
Yeah.
They won't take risks on the ground.
They barely make a bar.
Well, because they're the way that they process life is kind of like very, it's almost like medieval.
Right.
It's like you get your drink, you get your little patch of dirt,
yeah.
you get your woman,
right.
and you lose all of that.
Right.
Then you begin the process of losing it as soon as you've amassed it.
Yeah.
You lose all of those things. And you keep only your drink.
Oh, Danny boy.
You get the drink, you get the house, you get the woman, you lose the house and the woman and the kids.
Right.
Then you keep the drink.
Yeah.
And you go to the pub and you go, remember when it was the time? It was all the time for me, you know? And that's what they do. And God bless.
Yeah.
You know, that's the culture. I don't relate to it.
No.
I can relate a little bit to it through alcoholism.
Yeah.
Because I was an alcoholic, I understand what it means to be Irish. Had I not been an alcoholic, it would be as foreign to me as Chinese culture. It would be like nothing. Anybody who's Irish and doesn't have a problem with substances, I go, I don't even understand.
I've heard that before, but I'm a quarter Irish, and I have an IRA guy who got hung in my great grandfather, not that far. And I get nothing from my family. Like, there's no stories. No one ever talked about it. That's how little impact it has in there's no connection. Like,
there's
no one.
None.
Ever, it's, yeah,
there's none. The fullness of the Irish experience is really only available to people that are, in some stage of mental illness,
right.
or addiction. That's the way I believe it fully.
Yeah.
People will be offended by that, but to be truly Irish is to be mentally ill or addicted to drugs or alcohol.
Right.
That's all. Sorry.
And the Scottish beat him to the heroin thing.
Yeah. Yeah. My mother had the Irish experience by being a schizophrenic.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the Irish experience. To have the Italian experience, all you have to be is full of shit.
Is that where banshees come from?
Yes. The Italian experience is just I'm making things up all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I'm full of shit. Yeah. I'm not in the mob.
Right.
We have no connection. I don't know anybody.
I've never had espresso.
Like, you know, we're trying to get to this restaurant tonight. We went last night. It was great. I go, he calls, my boss. I go, use my name, but they don't care.
Right.
That's, yeah, they couldn't care less. They probably have no
my
idea
boss
who I
is
am.
Puff Daddy.
My boss is Diddy. These people couldn't give a shit, nor should they. But we bump into some dude who does this a real estate show on Long Island called like Hampton's Beach House, selling the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Some crap. Fine. God bless. I'm not shit. Hey, you got to hustle.
Right.
Good. And he goes, hey, we're big fans. And he goes, and it's sad. This woman died in the show. It's like sad. Like she got hit by a car. And I asked him about that. He kind of.
On the
me.
Show, so
she had a problem. She got it was a hit and run. It was a horrible thing in Hampton Bays or whatever. You know, I don't. It's all
she
public.
Asked for more money. Is that what happened?
I don't know what happened, but he goes, yeah, it's called Million Dollar Beach House. It was on Netflix. Now it's on HBO or something. I don't know what it is. I can't. But this guy's like, what? You can't get into that restaurant? I go, yeah, no. Who? No one cares about me.
Right.
Just because you listen to a podcast doesn't mean anyone gives a flying fuck about me.
Right.
Why would they care? Why would somebody own a restaurant care? It's not like I'm like, I've spent millions of dollars there in like private events. I take my company there.
Right.
My daughter got married there. I'm like, no, I'm just a fucking guy who talks shit in the mic. They don't care.
I mean, look, this is the one of those places, this general area where like they might not want you to talk about the restaurant.
They might not want it. They'd be very well within their rights to not want it. And it's just like, you know, but it is funny, like that's a very big Italian thing is, you know who I am, you know, right. My dad, you know, the connections I have, you know what I can do right now. And it's like,
my dad's nothing. A famous rat.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad's famous. He turned state's evidence and put 19 guys in jail. But I grew up with 15. People like that. I grew up with people that were like always full of shit about. Yeah. And then some people's dads were like kind of legit. And then there were some people that were really legit. But like.
Well, look, where I grew up, it's like it. No one really claimed mafia. But like the vibe, especially because the Sopranos was big then. Everyone, all these Italian, there was a ton of Italian kids. And they were all seemed like they were trying to flex that like they're the mob. Like, we're, like,
yeah.
Everyone's trying to, in Long Island, trying to hint that like. You know, the connection.
See, and this
the
kid John that I grew up with, I was a lifeguard with him. His name was John Madden, actually, funny enough.
Oh, nice.
And he said Long Island is, and he described it perfectly. He's like, it's Jews who think they're Italian who want to be black.
Right.
And that's kind of a great description of Long Island. Jews who think they're Italian who want to be black. Very interesting.
Yeah.
You know? I don't feel like this is racist.
No.
No.
No, I look.
This is anthropology.
I look.
Right?
Who
could say that?
Racism.
That's a whole other thing. That's like a different
racism
thing.
Is when you kill somebody.
Right. Or you're like mean to someone at a bank.
Yeah.
You're like, you're not getting a loan.
I'll be honest. We tried out, and not all of us tried, but we tried out like, oh, everything's racism, and it didn't work.
I gave black people too many loans.
Yeah.
That was that's the only criticism of my career in banking is literally letting everyone have money.
Yeah.
By the way,
did you have like the power to give people loans or not?
Well, we said, here, come and take the loan.
Right.
Like I gave to myself and foreclosed on my own house.
Right.
So before you start going, oh, you're a problem. Well, am I?
Right.
Am I?
But like they had to approve you right still, right? Like you weren't actually.
Well, I didn't have a vault of money in my house.
Right.
So yes, a bank.
No, I'm just wondering. Like, this is curious. Like, did you like when you said to the bank, like, "Hey, X, Y, and Z," did they believe you a lot? Like, they give you like a certain benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, that was a problem.
That's nice. Yeah,
that's the problem.
But it must have felt nice to have like a little power.
The bank would do some verification.
Sure, but you can kind of push.
Like they'd call you up and go, "Hey, you know Jimmy?" You go, "Yeah, he works for you." You go, "Yeah, he's good." Yeah.
Right.
All right.
You got to set you gotta get your ducks in a row. You got to have people.
Yeah, you know, you people would call and they'd do a verification of employment. There was one guy at a car dealership who everyone worked at that car dealership. So he would just answer the phone all day and do a and he'd go, "Yeah, they work here.
This entire country is just built on like
scams.
What's the expression?
Like, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, like you know, you guys go over there, you scam and give us the money. And we know not. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just plausible liability.
It doesn't work without that.
Right.
It's not going to work without that.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless RFK, whatever sit-up challenge he wants to do.
Right.
But I'm telling you right now, if you don't give people the ability to scam each other, the country will not exist.
It's
the only thing that's ever been done here.
People talk about hypocrisy like it's a problem.
Yeah.
And like, I get it. It's annoying. But it's the only thing that keeps it moving.
It's the only thing that keeps it going is scams.
Because you can't just be like, it's all fucked and we're all dirtbags.
Right.
I don't know why, but it just can't work. And you need to have the artifice of like, because the goal is to scam enough people that you can get out of the direct vicinity of the scamming.
That's right.
Into the place where we pretend we're not scamming.
The whole country's built on one sentence. You can get yours.
Right.
Whatever that happens to be.
Yeah.
Go and get yours.
But you need to be able to wash it at the end. In the middle,
absolutely.
You know? That's the thing. If you can't wash it, then it's just the mafia wars, you know?
No, it can't. The scams have to exist within it's like, it can't get too crazy.
Right.
Because then everything falls apart.
Yeah.
You can't have, everything can't be a scam.
Right.
But you can't have no scams.
Right.
That doesn't work. What will people do?
You have to boil the water.
What will people do? It's a good question.
Yeah.
What literally will they do?
They'll just sit there.
They'll become Nazis sit there.
Yeah.
Or they'll become, you know, far radical communist, whatever it is.
They'll get addicted to huffing gasoline.
They need something to do.
Yeah.
You know?
You have the people who won't do anything, the potheads or whatever, they're fine. No one's really mad at
them. They're just going to have a sandwich.
Yeah. But there's a certain percentage who are a little bit motivated.
A young guy's got to put on a suit.
Yeah.
It's not that expensive. Get into a mid-level car and drive to an office and do something.
Right.
That's a fact.
This is why the Mustang exists, for instance.
That's
or the
exactly right. That's
you
correct.
Need something for them. Something kind of nice.
That's right.
It's not, you know, it ain't that. But,
a
you know.
Guy needs to get in a car and drive to an office and get out and do something. you know?
Yeah.
You could call it the economy if you want.
Right.
You could call it anything you want.
Yeah.
What's that? They're all not going to join the military.
Right.
They're hopefully all not going to be on fentanyl. They're all not going to Harvard or Yale. They're all not going to go to become a cop, firefighter, teacher, accountant, join a union, be a blue-collar worker, be an electrician, be a plumber.
I guess you see a lot more of that. That's the problem.
Well, by the way, I'm all for more of that, yeah. And it's a great life. But there's still got to be something to do for kind of a high-strung alpha guy. He's going to die in a car accident. Here's the
right.
thing. He's going to die in a car accident. And he has to because that's the way the world has to go.
Right.
He's going to drive that Mustang into
a wall
or another person. He's going to die in a car. But he needs something to do for those 10 or 20 years before that happens.
Yeah.
They need something to do. These guys need something to do. And if you give them nothing to do, this is where the scam comes in.
Right.
They need to be able to... This is what needs to happen. And people are not going to like this, by the way. People are not going to like it, okay? Young people in America, in Long Island, need to be able to call old people and threaten them. Okay? Because this is the economy. That's the economy. Because young people have to call old people and they have to go, you're missing out.
Hey, FEMA give you some money. We want it back. You got to overpay.
And Ray is referencing a real thing that people did where we knew comics who took jobs calling older people that had been given FEMA money from Hurricane Sandy, and they were telling the old people, you got overpaid,
right.
And you overimproved your house, and you owe us some of the money back.
Did we ever find out, like, were they actually overpaid even?
Who knows?
Right.
But, Who knows?
In any other sphere of life, it was like, well, all right, it's fine. We overpaid them. It's their old people.
That is one of the backbones of the American economy that people don't really talk about.
Right.
Is the harassment of the elderly.
This is what Friedrich Hayek was always talking about. Yeah. He was talking about how, like, you know, why socialism can't work because of these little micro minutiae of the economy. It's that. Yeah. It's beating old people over the head.
And no one's, listen, here's
a planned economy can't plan for that.
I'm not saying that it's good. I'm saying that we haven't found another thing for these people to do.
Right.
The reverse mortgage.
Yeah.
The reverse mortgage. Okay? The idea of a reverse mortgage. We pay you to live in your home.
Sounds nice.
Live off your home's equity. By the way, this is all a way to just steal the Social Security.
Right.
That's the whole point. Get rid of that. Hey, you own a house? We'll pay you. We'll reverse your mortgage, meaning it's your home's equity. You have equity in your house. We suck it out in the form of a loan, except you don't pay us. We pay you.
Right.
We send you payments of your home's equity until you drop dead. And then your kid comes in and goes, I'm inheriting a house. And I go, no, you're not.
Well, it's usually when you go into like a nursing home, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I heard about in like paralegal school.
Yeah.
Like you go into a nursing home and to finance that, they do a reverse mortgage.
Yeah.
And there was something where like if you die within 5 years, you can kind of beat them on it.
Yes. Yeah. No, here's the thing. You don't want to get old in this country.
Right.
You want to die before the calls come. You want to die before the calls come.
Because if you die, if you're there for less than 5 years, you can kind of do reverse that somehow.
Yes.
But
yes.
If you spend more than 5 years in a nursing home, they own it.
No. You want to die in this country before the calls come.
Right.
Because you become a huge target when you are elderly and you start to have dementia and they can get between you and your money.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Get between you and your money.
Think about if you're hunting and you fucking see like one deer is just fucking slow as shit and it's got a big ass. You know, I'm gonna eat that ass. You know, it's like, I don't know if it's how hunters think. I'm not a hunter, but I mean, I would shoot that deer. Yes.
This is, you wanna die in this country before you were sitting there, okay, with like a 28 year old who's on Adderall trying to separate you from your money.
Right.
And it's stocks, it's real estate, it'll be crypto, it doesn't matter. It's mortgages, it's fucking, it doesn't matter. Small business loan that your son wants to open a car wash, whatever it is. Whatever
whole,
it is.
This whole country is that Killers of the Flower Moon movie.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's just, hey, these people got something, they got some cash.
Because that's one of the pillars of the economy. It's why we have to go so overboard lionizing anyone who does anything remotely heroic.
Yeah.
And by remotely heroic, I mean like just if they're nice to a person one time.
Right.
So many plots of like movies and stuff. Someone decides to be kind to someone.
Yeah.
The coach doesn't rape you. Right. That's a movie.
Right.
In America, if the coach doesn't rape you,
yeah.
it's a huge franchise film. We have to celebrate just normal acts of kindness in America.
I ain't gonna fuck you. Just go play baseball.
Right. Normal acts of kindness are celebrated because one of the large pillars of our economy is hunting the elderly.
Right.
Calling old people at night and trying to steal their money is a pillar of our economy. Elderly Americans lost a record $12.5 billion to scams and fraud in 2024, according to the AARP and Federal Trade Commission. This figure represents a 25% increase from 2023. Well, that's because the sales manager goes, we got to step it up.
Is there any data on where these scams are coming from?
Oh, he'll get it, but I'll tell you exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you exactly where they're coming from. It is reverse mortgages. It is debt consolidation. Big.
Yeah.
Debt consolidation. It is tax issues. It is loan modifications. Right. Like, you know, oh, you owe a tax lien. Yeah. Investment scams. Imposters. Tech support. Government officials. Those are the real illegal. I'm talking about the ones that aren't even illegal.
Yeah.
So these are the real illegal ones where I'm pretending to be from the government and something like that. I'm talking about
accounting.
Just the fully. No, because that's great. They give you four things that are completely illegal.
Right.
But the legality of the scam is unbelievable.
Right.
The mortgages, the finance, the fraud, the debt consolidation loans, loan modification. Hey, send us a payment just to demonstrate financial. That you have the money to, and then we're going to go renegotiate your mortgage and get a loan mod. People went to jail. Years ago, a friend of mine, not a friend, but a guy that I knew went to jail for this.
Right.
A guy that I did mortgages with went to jail for loan mods.
You know, I don't scam people. I try not to.
Neither do I.
Right. What?
I said, neither do I.
Right. No, I'm saying
I did when I was doing mortgages was legal. That's a funny thing. Like, there were people doing illegal shit.
Yeah.
But all the loans that we put people into were all legal loans.
They were
adjustable.
I was prefacing what I'm about to say. Is that I don't scam people. But that being said, like when we think of old people, we think of like our grandparents. And your grandpa was kind of a savvy guy. But in general, like, you know, they grew up in a different time. He came from Ireland. Like,
yeah.
At a certain point, it's kind of like with computers too. Like old people were around for computers now.
Yeah.
And they're around for a lot of this shit. I'm not saying you're all bankers, but like at a certain point, you should like. Can we stop falling for everything?
This is why they're fair game,
right?
No. You're expressing, and this is. I'm happy you did this. This is the emotional underpinning of the United States of America. Okay. No. This is, by the way, the emotional architecture of our country. Shouldn't they know better? It's why this continues. It's why it's $12 billion. It's up from 2024. In 2025, it'll be higher than it was in 2024 because the people blame immediately the victims. The victims are blamed in this country immediately. Immediately. They're old. They're infirm. They have dementia. They're blamed. They're immediately blamed. And it's, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Right. Shouldn't you know better? But by the way, that point of view is the point of view that is very common.
It's look,
no one feels, but here's the thing about the old people. We also remember this. They were the people shooting the black people with the water cannons.
Right. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you guys
had no. This is the whole point of everything. People have to be evil.
Yeah.
So that when they're old, you can rob them.
There's something in nature.
This is the whole thing. This is the cycle of everything.
Called the life cycle.
Oh, yeah.
And things have to recirculate.
These are the people throwing the bricks at the gay people at Stonewall going, we're going to kill you. They're turning the hose on the blacks.
Hey, respect the cops.
Right. These are the people who, like, if they were brought into a room, you said, we're doing this thing called 9/11 tomorrow. They go, all right. How many people in America would have even had a problem with 9/11 if we just said, you know, I've come around to your thinking.
Yeah.
You know, you said years ago, who cares? Even if they just said we did it.
I was saying that we wouldn't, the country wouldn't care.
It was facetious and funny. You said if they just came out and said we did
9/11,
it wouldn't even be a big deal. And you were being funny about it. And I was like, well, I think it would be a big deal. But here's the reality. Now that I've lived on this planet a little longer, I'm telling you right now, if you don't think there's going to be a large segment of the population that goes, listen, sometimes you got to do something. You got to let something happen. Like,
well, yeah,
absolutely. They'd be like, if they didn't let that happen, they would have nuked us. Like, there's a strong possibility.
I'm telling you, and I wasn't saying like if that, like whatever that was 2015 or whatever that, that if it happened then. But I was saying like in 20 years, like because they went to Kennedy assassination. And I believe it now. Look back. If right now it came out,
yes,
like it wouldn't be like, hey, we did 9/11,
right?
But like strong ties to the CIA with the Muhammad Atta,
right?
It would get a story for a day or two, and then people would just ignore it.
That's right. Agreed.
Yeah,
people would just go, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
they go, yeah, whatever.
You hear about Travis Kelce?
Yeah, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are engaged. By the way, I mean, what is your? I mean, you're a huge fan. you're a huge fan.
I think the whole point of Taylor Swift is like, it's kind of an act of like, it's like that Orwell in 1984 where you're like 2 + 2 = 5. Like, no, like, it was 4. No, it's 5. And then they put a rat in your chest. It's like, is you have they you need to accept this. You know, they want you to accept that this is art now. Music now. It's kind of a, it's kind of the last step. I know maybe people think I'm overstating it.
What's
her song? Cruel Summer? Is that her? I don't know.
They loved it.
But I mean, I watched her concert on Disney Plus a while. It's like, what kind? I mean, I was never a pop fan.
Well, here's
fan,
the other thing, and I spoke about this with Candace Owens briefly, and I don't want to fly into the firestorm here because these people are litigious. I'm going to say this. I'm saying it to the patrons and to you. The woman's evil.
Which one?
Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
She's a very cruel person.
Oh.
And I know that from people that know her.
Sure.
What she's done to other people.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Well, she's very nasty.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. She's a vicious person.
I don't,
anyone that thinks. But by the way, she can do her.
Right.
She can do
her. Because she hugged some fat girl in a wheelchair once?
Right. Right, she put her in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
She probably put her in a wheelchair before she hugged her.
She fucking gave her a spinal.
The country is based on two things. It's based on in our country, Maleficent.
Yeah.
Okay? Maleficent.
Sleeping Beauty,
queen from Sleeping Beauty, okay, becomes a girl from Nashville with a guitar and sings. And then you call old people at night and you say, give me your credit card information.
I would love the idea of her like fucking selling people at night in the hotel room.
Taylor Swift at night calls old people and she says, give me your social security number. She goes, it's Taylor Swift. Give me your social security number. I'll take your money.
It's a cruise.
It's a cruise. It's about, we saw Gypsy. We saw Audra McDonald. Who doesn't know me or co-sign anything I say? So,
you know,
we'll never met her.
Scumbag, keep your name out of your mouth. No, of
course. Not trying to fuck up her money. But you see how talented that woman is, and because she's a stage actress, no one really cares because it's talent's not the thing anymore. People just, you know, they want something. They want to feel that talent used to be something where you would feel something based on the raw talent of the person. You see Audra and Gypsy, you go, man, she knows what she's doing. I mean, it's like she's at the top level. But Taylor Swift has created this culture that depends on all these other things.
Yeah.
This tour, we're all sharing this experience. We're reliving our summer camp experience, but we're 38 years old.
Nostalgia from 5 years ago?
Yeah, it's all disgusting. And here's the deal. I would respect, I'm not kidding, everyone that went to the Eras tour, I'd respect them so much if they just sat in an office and called elderly people and took their money.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good point. They're diverting people from their role in the economy.
1,000%.
This is all because there's just too much content out there.
Yeah.
To distract people from
these
doing their jobs.
These people are not calling old people because they're too moral to do it.
Yeah.
They're going to the Eras tour.
Right.
I have friends that went to that and they try to explain it to me, and I fully am in the dark. Not that I understand the appeal of it to a certain whatever
group, yeah,
demo, whatever. The idea that this woman's our greatest living artist and that was the greatest tour. I mean, the or greatest artist of all time. Like, the insanity of that point of view to me is psychotic.
This is McCarthyism.
Yes.
Whatever they thought Al Qaeda was going to do.
Right.
All this shit they're supposedly afraid of.
It's
100% this.
Yes.
More potent.
Agreed.
Yeah.
No, this is, she makes Joe McCarthy look like a sweet schoolboy.
Right.
No, that woman has done more to degrade our culture than Al Qaeda ever could.
Right.
There's nothing that Al Qaeda could do to us that woman, she will do.
She would behead Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, I mean, she is Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
I mean, that where is he?
Right.
Where is he, by the way?
On stage.
But this idea, do you know how many people are? Let me just see if my friend Lauren answers. I'm going to ask her because she's a big Taylor Swiftie. I've got normal friends, you know. Some of my friends are normal. Some of them are not.
Sure.
I call them. I don't tell them they're on the podcast because who cares?
What's another one of hers? I remember the Love Story when she first came out.
Love Story is kind of catchy.
It's catchy.
There's catchy songs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she's untalented, obviously. I'm saying the level to which it's become a cult.
Yeah.
Troubles me.
Yeah, well, she seemed like a sweet kid back then, you know, overproduced,
yeah,
whatever.
But no, it wasn't.
Now you
sweet.
Watch her and it's just like,
it's really sick.
And it's like she's dressed up in like a bathing suit. It should be on paper, she should be an attractive woman. And I'm not judging anyone's looks, of course, but it's like, it's just, there's something kind of just weirdly just empty and
there's something
removed from, like, not just sexless, but charmless and like just charismaless about the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm not like, I didn't listen to Madonna growing up, but I watched that. I go, well, that's something. That's definitely art and it's fucking like interesting and, you know,
hey, there's something beautiful about, you know, the recognition of a, you know, an artistic figure that's impacted people's lives. I don't feel that here. I don't know why.
There's people who
I'm actually very nervous and worried about where this goes. And I think she could get large amounts of Americans to do things that are violent.
What's actually probably happening right now.
Self-harm.
If people listen to this.
Yeah.
Fans of yours, like, yes, the show. You wouldn't necessarily think so.
Do not comment on her
stuff. Are preparing to kill me for what I'm saying.
No, her fans will kill us.
Yeah.
Her fans are the most dangerous. Forget my fans or Legion of Skanks or any of these like fabled fan bases that are going to kill everyone.
Yeah.
Her fans have frightened me. Billie Eilish fans almost killed me.
Really?
The comments they were leaving were actually chilling.
Wow.
Chilling. This was years ago. Taylor Swift's fandom can hurt people,
right,
can destroy them, can strip them of their status as a human being.
I just wonder, it's like
they're in positions of power.
Sure.
The Swift fans are in positions of power.
But it's like having to defend, like, it's like, but like, what am I saying? It's like the people do this. They overly defend the United States. We don't need to defend it. It's like,
yeah,
it's, we're monolith.
There's something, like, there's a quality to it that I find cult-like and disturbing. That's all.
No, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Taylor Swift fans shake it off, causing record-breaking seismic activity during Seattle shows because it's, you know, tens of thousands of people jumping around. I'll tell you right now, I wish her well. I wish her the best. I wish Travis Kelce the best. I don't love him. I don't want to be in the same room.
That seems fake. It's an arena. Wait, hold on. It's an arena. She didn't build a new arena.
Right.
Is it the first show where most people in the arena were dancing for anything?
I don't know.
It seems like a lot of these things seem like bullshit.
Well, you know, the whole jet thing. There's a lot of...
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people trying to cover up what's really going on.
Right.
With her.
Sure.
What's really going on. So people are going, oh, there's seismic activity. It's like, yeah, we're...
She's building a nuke.
Hey, where are the children?
Right.
She's building a nuke. What if she... That would be hilarious if Taylor Swift just built a nuclear weapon. She's gone nuclear. I mean, we are at a point now where people are going to get... They have that level of wealth.
Well, look, this is the whole cyberpunk idea, is that eventually corporations become countries.
Yeah.
And artists become countries. And, like, that's what she... Oh,
she's a country, dude.
Yeah.
She's already a... We have to deal with Taylor Swift the way we deal with Israel.
Yeah.
We have to
give
be
her everything.
Careful.
Yeah.
Kind of, yes. Kind of, yes. Like, only admonish her after she's done something really, really terrible.
You know, the nail polish she was wearing while she was beating a child to death.
Yeah, no. It's got to be, we got to let her go for years and then just start to admonish her.
Right.
You know? We don't like this. But never say to stop doing whatever she's doing. Just say, we don't like it.
Maybe smile less while you're doing it.
Yeah. We don't like this. But though, I think that's what, that seems to be our that seems to be our, like, position with his rules. Like, that we're, not that don't do it, we're just, we don't love it.
Right. Hey. This is not what,
we don't love this.
This is not what we signed on for, and we're still going to give you the money and the missiles.
And we understand why you're doing it. We understand. It's just an interesting thing to, like, it's such an interesting thought.
Well, we don't want to erase your lived experience, but this seems wrong.
We get why you're doing it. But we're not happy about it. But we get why you're doing it, and you're going to keep doing it with our money.
It's a cruel summer.
Okay. I just want to get your reaction to the Travis Taylor news. How do you feel? Because you're a huge fan of this woman.
I'm not okay. Tim, she did it on my birthday, too. So it was like the best present she could have given to me, and I'm so happy for her.
Yes, and you feel...
Are you?
Well, I don't know her. I don't know him, so I don't have feelings either way. What about this is so, like, I love this, and I'm so happy about it?
What about it?
Yeah, just what about... Is it the particular relationship? Is it just...
Okay, so Swifties, like, really have seen Taylor go through it all. Like, from all the guys that she dated who were, like, little bitches and, like, who needed... Like, who couldn't handle her being in spotlight and share kind of a life with her and were, like, in hiding. Like, Joe Alwyn, like, was always in hiding. He didn't want to, like, profess, like, their love, like, in public.
But the Riyadh Comedy Festival is the problem, by the way. Maybe they have a couple ideas over there.
And they're not ashamed of anything. And they're just, like, enjoying each other and... He's very supportive of her publicly. So I'm very happy for her in that way. Like, finally she's getting, like, you know, a love that she deserves.
Well, that's good. I'm happy to hear that. And you think it's real deal? Go the distance?
I mean, I hope so. But I will selfishly say that I hope that she doesn't, like, disappear. I don't want her to have kids. I just want her to keep, like, writing good music. And I think if she becomes a mom, that's going to change. And I don't want that for her.
All right. Well, very, very good. All right. Listen, I got to run. But I just want to, because everyone's freaking out about it. And I know you love her. So I was like, let me just get. All right. We'll
Wait,
talk.
Where are you?
I'm just in my house in Southampton.
Oh, okay.
I got to run. Barbara. All right.
Okay. Bye, Tim.
I mean, chilling.
No, it's chilling. No, by the way.
Yeah.
Chilling. It's chilling.
He didn't want to perfect their love.
No. Fully chilling. And by the way, fully chilling. And that's not uncommon.
No, yeah.
That is not rare. That is the response of people that are, this woman has a religion. They are, you know? I'm scared of that. People, yeah. Oh, you're scared to go to Riyadh? I'm scared of whatever that is.
But that's the
whatever that is.
That's life. That sums up at least our experience in life, I feel like, this generation even, where it's like, you would have thought, like, I could have thought this would happen. You've seen stuff like this in science fiction or whatever, speculative fiction. It's just like, you thought it would be better music.
Right, yes.
You thought it would be like, oh, like Tina Turner or something. Like,
that's right.
You know, someone really gets people going. And it's just like, this is just...
You knew that the Chocolate Factory was there, and you knew that Willy Wonka was there. You thought the Gobstopper was going to be good.
Right.
You thought at least it would be good. Yeah.
The banality of evil.
Well, it's really what it comes down to. It's like that the chilling, the way that people have put their hopes, dreams, and experiences into this woman.
Yeah.
That she deserves, and these men didn't. Now she has a love that she deserves. This is all deeply unhealthy, by the way. I'm sorry to people that are hearing this and that are not disturbed. This is a very disturbing part of our culture.
It's actually
very sick.
And I don't care a shit about Travis Kelce. I find him annoying. His brother's even more annoying to me. I barely engage with their content or whatever.
Right.
But, like, it is odd. Like, when you, just from my observation of, like, him going through that mill of her, I'm like, he's definitely become a bigger celebrity, I guess. He's trying to pivot to acting or something. But, like, he's definitely become, like, a weird accessory. In a way where it's like, you know, they want her to have her spotlight or whatever. It's like, but that's not, it's more like, will you become part of this organization is what they want. They want someone who's gonna be a fucking, you know, like a soldier for them, for Taylor.
Yeah, it's sick. I'm sorry. I heard that and I was disturbed. She's never spoken about one of our friends like that.
Right.
I've never heard any of these Swifties talk, and I love Lauren, she's a good friend of mine, yeah. But none of us care about our friends like that.
Right.
Nobody in this generation is that concerned with their friends or family. They're concerned with this woman.
Maybe it makes the most sense, though.
Yeah.
It'd be weirder if people still believed there was hope.
Interesting.
You know, if they still like, believe in America.
And if one person can live their dream, maybe that's enough.
Right.
And that's what we're really seeing.
We're all just
It's
spirits.
Kind of the Hunger Games. It is yeah. Katniss Everdeen. It's like, well, she's yeah. doing it.
Right.
Right.
She's a Mockingjay.
Right, right. Right, good. Well, Taylor Swift is living her dream. She's finally got the love she deserves.
We're all just gas and noble elements or something. Right. And we're all just kind of like in a part. Yeah,
But I think we have a soul. I don't want to get rid of the soul.
Well, you're outdated. All right. Because what we are is gases and noble elements and helium. And we came from stars and we're going back to stars. And in the meantime,
yes.
We all need to coalesce. Around orbits.
But don't you ever go to midnight mass at St. Pat's and you look around and everyone's got a mint coat and everybody's rich and you go, we all have souls.
All I heard there was racism.
Well, it is a lot of whites, the truth. But also some of those white Hispanics. But here's my, you know what I mean, Castilian? Where they go, but here's my point. I feel like in that time we have a soul.
No, I of course. No, you know? But that's
when I walk on the beach in the Hamptons at night, when in the golden hour.
Yeah,
there's a beautiful. I feel like we have a soul.
But I think that's the whole point. Is that a lot of what the let's just say the PNAC era
project, you know, for the New American Century.
Yes,
for those of you who are uninitiated,
the guys who did 9/11.
Yeah,
allegedly.
Right. It'd be so funny if they sued us. It'd be so funny if they sued us.
But, you know, I think a lot of the idea you could boil it down to is the destruction of the soul.
Yes.
It's the what's the word I'm looking for? Diffusion of, not, well, everyone knows about diffusion of responsibility, not phenomenon.
Yeah.
This is the diffusion of identity.
Yes.
Is what's happening.
Well, the thing that, here's where, if I have to give the project for the New American Century their due.
Right.
And I do have to give them their due. They understood there might have been a time to pivot this country into something else, but right. by then it had passed.
Yeah.
And they knew that. Yeah. And they had to double and triple down. They were like,
what were we doing? We were busy bombing Laos?
Well, they were basically like, listen, the people, we could have created beautiful green space. We could have made this thing different.
Sure.
We could have made this a country that valued nature and balance and all that. It just wasn't in the cards.
Right.
Nobody wanted it. And the people for the New American Century said, we have to keep these people doing the two things they love, shopping and going to war.
Right.
And that was the legacy of, you know, the project for the New American Century and 9/11. It was an era of commercialism and, you know, violent torture.
Bread and circus has become blood and porn.
Yeah. And then every Long Island boomer would sit every night and you'd watch Bill O'Reilly and he'd be the no spin zone. And, you know, he would tell you why it's good that,
right.
you know.
Don't be a pinhead.
Don't be a pinhead. Pinheads and Patriots. Yeah. Anyway, Pinheads and Patriots was a segment he did at the end of his show. Yeah.
Buy my new book, Killing Tom Daschle.
Yeah. He would go like this. He'd go. Patriot Father Michael Sullivan, who said that torture is nothing. That like Father Michael Sullivan that said that, like, you know, he would always find some like radical priest, like radical Catholic psycho who's like loved war,
right.
And he'd go, Patriot is Father Michael Sullivan, who went down to the Wounded Warrior Project and went down and talked with the people, the POW, you know, whatever, the people who returned from Iraq.
The guy who lost his hand while he was throwing a grenade at that child.
Yeah. And Father Sullivan was there visiting them and talking about the importance of this war. And he's our patriot. And our pinhead tonight is someone who questioned our bombing of a 3-year-old.
St. Thomas Aquinas. Yeah.
Our pit hit tonight is the Virgin Mary.
I don't need a middleman.
I'm a set of anchors. Our pinhead tonight is Pope Pius XII, Vatican II. That's our pinhead. No, I mean, it was, they understood, the people, the project for the New American Century just understood this country. Sometimes you understand your audience.
Right.
You got to know your audience. And they said, we've got a country of people here who call people and they steal their money when they're elderly.
Right.
So that's the people that we're talking to. Yeah. Those are the people we're trying to excite. And we're going to excite them by going through the Middle East and, you know, making it into a shopping mall.
And you know what? Look, as much as I don't like being sold to, I kind of respect when someone markets properly. When they know, like, if I'm on Instagram and I get some recommendation for some weird synth thing, and it's like that, like, you know, even if I don't buy it, I'm like, well, this is at least they're like giving me ads. It's not like Twitter, I'm getting ads for like fucking like vaginal creams. And so it's like, in the same way, I respect that they know who we are, the PNAC boys. That they fucking understood, like, you know, no, we just want to pivot this feeling away from us again. This fucking anxiety.
Yes.
This whole thing's a machine to take like slight anxiety and turn it into carnage somewhere else.
We need to take that Adderall nicotine-stained finger, lifting a coffee cup that's pounding a phone, calling people and stealing their money.
Right.
We need to funnel that energy into something positive, like democratizing the Middle East.
Right.
And the people for the project, they just understood the audience.
One might argue there's less democracy in the Middle East.
They are the most cynical. The people think me and you are cynical. There was nobody more cynical than those guys.
Oh, God.
We're idealists. I've been spending time more with rich people than I ever have. And
yeah.
God, just because I'm here, right? Sure. It's just I'm here and they're out.
It's unavoidable.
And it's lovely because they have lovely homes and, you know, no food really. You know, I went to lunch the other day. They had a melon, just one melon. It was
you mentioned melon, but I didn't realize that was the only thing you had.
$400 melon and some prosciutto, and that was it. And that was
how
lunch.
Much was it?
$400 melon.
Is it like a yellow melon?
It's a Japanese melon.
What's the color?
It's the most expensive melon. It's a green melon. It was good. Best melon I ever had, but it's still a melon.
But at the end of the day, was it just a really good honeydew, basically? Or was it a whole new thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't tell you.
It was still a melon.
But it was, you would have had it and went, whoa.
Okay.
But whatever.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed about these people is that they're never worried about anything.
Right.
They don't care. They're not truly worried about the country. They're not really worried about, like, the middle class, like people like my aunt and stuff. They're screaming and yelling. They're riddled with anxiety. They're giving themselves cancer. These people.
Well, this is like the I am the one who knocks thing. It's like, oh, you worry about me.
Right.
We're the ones you worry about.
Right.
We're going to take your house.
Well, that's the whole thing. There is something interesting about spending time with these people. You go, they're so goddamn calm.
Right.
It does make you, it's more nefarious than if they weren't.
Right.
It is a little scarier than if they weren't. But they are so calm and so black-eyed that you're like, oh, it's all fine.
No one's advocating, and nor is it ever going to happen. That's like where like we go after the rich or anything. But like, it would be more humanizing if they were slightly like, hey, let's make sure people don't riot. Like, but they're like, nah, we got it covered. Why do you think we send tanks to the Duluth fucking police department?
It's such a strange thing.
Yeah.
It's such a strange thing to. You know, just because it's so alien to me to be around people that are just very, like, just calm. And that's no one that I know.
Right.
It's no one that I've ever met or grew up with or am around now, really.
Right. Yeah.
It's just such a calm, you know, placid, it's almost like they're always on a low dose of Prozac.
It's interesting that they all seem, or at least this class of rich people, seems to gravitate towards sailing.
Yes,
it's kind
well,
of
they've
thing,
always gravitated.
Right, but it seems like a thing where it's because it kind of teaches it is kind of thing. You roll with the wind, you control the wind. I think when you're good at it, you can kind of make the bend the sail and get the. I don't know. I don't do it.
They've given themselves over to a kind of fatalism that you can you know because they die.
Yeah,
it's not like they're living forever. That's not the goal of a lot of these people. It's the goal of a few tech freaks.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people are like. they do things that are relatively dangerous. They are, you know, but they just have a sense of inner peace that comes from knowing that you're going to be okay no matter what. They're never going to be on a public bus. They might die. They might die. Right. But they'll never be at working at Popeye's. Do you know what I mean? Like, I never had that. Like, I grew up going, this very possible I'd work in fast food.
Oh, yeah.
I never had that. They will say, like they know it's never going there.
Right.
It might, their plane, a jet could go down in Aspen.
Sure.
And it could all go to blackness and end or whatever's next. But they know they're never getting on a public bus.
Rich, is people are kind of surprised. I was often surprised by rich people. They're all very religious. Yeah. But I don't think that they think of religion the way we do. I think it's more like, and not everyone. Not,
look, and this is not about my friend Connor. I have rich friends. They listen. They think it's always about that.
I don't even know your friends.
It's Connor, not about you. Okay.
But it's more like, and I'm not, look, some people
thinks everything's about them.
Some people get rich on their own. And I guess it's not you. But even still, even if you do, we gotta admit it went
well.
He's
not even rich, this kid. Right. Go on, I apologize.
No, it is about Connor. The thing is, it's like when God gave you a good roll of the dice, and like he take given take it away. It's like when it's like it's that kind of thing.
Where yes,
like, you know, it's like, well. Like it's gone well, and when he decides it's over, it's over. It's like fate,
and it's very
fate
interesting.
Works for them, so they can
fate
believe
works
in fate.
For them, and that's so interesting. And they're basically like, why ruin this?
Right.
You know, I'm sure there's people that are passionate, and those are the people that are consumed, like the rich people that really are the eccentrics and the people that go wild. The vast majority, and I'm not saying that there's not truth to the QAnon stuff. Obviously, there is, but the reason that the QAnon stuff is always wrong is because it's always crazy. It takes real things and then makes them cinematic. It makes them, you know, oh, JFK Jr. is coming back or whatever. It's
Here's
crazy.
The problem with QAnon, and I'm sorry if I offend anyone out there.
Yeah.
But my problem with it and why I really don't respect it very much is it feels, because I look at the horror and I hope it gets better and I'll try to do things to make it better, but I don't like put faith that it's going to... But everything with QAnon seems to be like, but this savior is coming.
Well, it's cinematic.
Yeah.
It's a movie.
Right.
Cinematic. So the QAnon movement is cinematic. And what the QAnon movement really gets wrong about everything is that everything is super interesting. And everything is like a centuries old blood pact.
Right.
Everything goes back to the Rosicrucians, and the Knights Templar and everything. Dude, a lot of this is rich people keeping their mouths shut.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're all fucking Masons. It's because fucking people on a middle class block in Long Island will keep their mouth shut if three of their kids get in a fight.
Right.
And I know this because I covered a story in Phoenix, Arizona about parents trying to cover up a fight where a kid actually got killed.
Yeah.
This is just that with $1 billion. It doesn't mean that the rich people aren't pedophiles, but the fucking middle class people are pedophiles too.
Right.
Like, here's the thing. What you are with QAnon, when you go, well, it's the fucking, you know, what it really is the black hand of Saturn or whatever. Right. And you're like, guys.
I still think most pedophiles are like family members.
Right. And the other thing about it's the banality of evil, it's how boring a lot of it is.
Yeah.
And it's and that's the thing I think that's inconceivable. It's understandable if everybody's a lizard or a reptile or if it's a blood pact or if it's an ancient cult or if it's an order. And some of it has some of that, but a lot of that's just guys jerking off in the woods. Like, it's not, there's no black magic here, folks. Sorry.
The creepiest thing is that.
I think it's Harry Potter.
I still recently struggle with certain pockets of these ideas sometimes.
Yeah.
The extent to which these people who aren't as evil as you think are cool with letting you die.
Yes.
And living in horror just so they can have a little more comfort.
It's inconceivable that these are people that are just safeguarding their position in society.
Right.
It is much easier to believe that they are some type of demonic entity who slipped through a dimension.
Right.
To just think it's a dude.
Yeah.
It's just a dude.
He just wants to live underwater.
Just a dude who wants a couple of acres in Sagaponic and doesn't really care what happens to you or your family. and it will keep his mouth shut about whatever the hell they're doing in the next house if Jeffrey Epstein happens to live there.
Right.
That is very hard to wrap your head around because it really makes you think, could I be that person? See, that's the thing. If everyone's an interdimensional shape-shifting lizard or the Knights Templar or the Rosicrucians or if it's just 12 bloodlines, if it's this, if it's that, then, well, you're off the hook.
Yeah.
You're off the hook.
No, look, 100%.
Right.
Like, I'm someone who, like, okay, maybe things will break for me and I'll become a rich guy soon.
Yeah.
Probably not. Point is, I get it. I'm one of you. It didn't all work out for me. And it's tempting to go, no, but it wouldn't have anyway because of these fucking lizard amphibians, whatever they are. It's not my fault.
If the lizards are interdimensional, whatever, shapeshifters, then you as a middle class person are not responsible for any of the horror anywhere else in the world.
That too, right.
Because you have to realize that you are looked at by people that are poor in this country.
Right.
As the people that you're looking at.
Yeah.
And the minute you have to look in the mirror or the minute you have to turn the gun on yourself, so to speak, is when it all falls apart.
Yeah.
So all you can do is get in your car, drive to an office, get out with a cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee and call old people. All you can do is call old people and get them to give you their social security number and their credit card information. I mean, that's what Glenn Ross really is. What it really is they're old. Are you man enough to take it? What are they doing with it? They're old.
Man, they're walking a lot unless he wants to buy.
Take it. Because the country will not survive looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
And it's not going to survive turning the gun on itself. But we can get a few more generations out of Taylor Swift, her husband, the royal baby, whenever the hell that comes out. Okay. And you will read that news on your phone that Taylor Swift's pregnant, she's going to have a kid, and you'll read it just in between calling an elderly person, okay, in Lake Ronkonkoma, and stealing their money.
This baby seems like it's growing quickly. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah. Hello, Mrs. Miller? Hi. It's Tim Dillon from Credit Financial Solutions. Your son's having a tough time. I'm sure you'd like to help him out if you could. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.